Welcome back to another episode of On Life and Being Human. I am your host, Catherine Colleen, and this is the podcast where we help you create complete connection to yourself and everything in your world. If you have any questions, want to send in your questions and ideas and thoughts, you can send them to questions@koabd.com, or you can go to the community page over at the website and fill out the little form there and send your question in that way. Either way, I would love to help. If you'd like to remain anonymous, just let me know. It's not a problem. We're so glad you could be here today. A big shout out to our listeners in Mumbai, India. Is Samband Kilge Dhanivad. Thank you for this connection. So today we're going to be talking about trusting your river. You might call it your river. You might call it the universe. You might call it the divine. Whatever you would like to call it. I like to call it your river. I like the metaphor for the river of your life. And we're going to be talking today about how to start trusting that. And this, you know, that's a phrase that might be bantied about a lot, right? Let go and let God. Or just trust that your life is going somewhere great. And it's like, number one, okay, trust by itself is not a strategy. You need to actually be active in forming the life that you want. But there is an element of needing to trust that you have a purpose, or trust that there is something good in your future which is intended, trust that there are forces beyond your control which are helping to move you in the right direction. And so let's talk about this. So the river of your life is a metaphor for how we seem to have a combination of fate and free will kind of guiding our lives. And this is an age-old argument, right? Is it fate or is it free will? And to me, it seems to be a combination. It's a little of both. So have you noticed that sometimes life seems like a struggle? And other times, things just seem to work out really easily. Well, your river wants to take you towards your purpose, whatever that may be. And however that may change over time, right? Your purpose might change in different phases of your life. And when you're on track, this is my point though, when you're on track towards your purpose, you will find that life flows easily. Things just happen easily. Opportunities come easily. Connections come easily. Experiences, whatever it is that you're looking for, kind of comes easily. But if you struggle against your river, that is, if you move away from your purpose, life seems hard. Things don't come easily. But learning to trust your river is not easy, right? That's not easy. We can't see around the next corner, and the journey towards your purpose usually includes several leaps of faith. And it can be so very hard to just close your eyes and go with it. But once you recognize the nature of your river, it becomes not just easy, but actually a sense of relief to let go and let your river take you where you need to be. So consider the experiences, good and bad, that have influenced you. This is the exercise. I want you right now think about the experiences that have influenced you, the experiences that have shaped you or have been significant in your life in some way, whether they were good experiences or bad experiences. You know the ones that really shaped you into who you are today. So write those down. Write them down or think of them in your head. If you're in the car, don't start writing. And consider how they each influenced you. So each experience would have influenced you slightly, in a slightly different way. So the first question I want you to think about in terms of these experiences that shaped you is, what did they teach you? And when I think about what they teach you, what I'm really asking is, what gifts did they have for you? Gifts could be skills, or perspective, or joy, or love, or even fear. Yes, sometimes fear is a gift. What did they give you? What did they instill in you? These experiences, good and bad, that shaped you. And appreciate them for the gifts that they gave you. So for each experience that was a major event in your life, you want to catalog what you got from it. Maybe you got fear of something. Maybe you got joy. Maybe you got a new skill or a new perspective. You want to write it down, and you want to appreciate and have gratitude for, be thankful for this gift that these experiences gave you. Sometimes they were hard lessons, I'm sure, and you would very much sort of wish that you had not gone through that. But it was still, there were gifts. Still there were lessons, very important things you had to learn. Write those down or keep them in your mind. And now here's the tricky part. Let them go. We're very prone to taking these experiences and turning them into the stories of our life. The things that happened to me. I am this way and I am that way because this thing happened to me. But you are not your experiences. They're in, well, number one, they're in the past, but let's move beyond that. You know that. You have experiences and you learn from experiences, but you are not your experiences. See the difference? That is not your full identity. If your full identity, all it is a bunch of stories that you can tell about what happened to you. I think you're a lot more than that. So make this list. Instead of shunning our experiences, we want to catalog them, what you learned from them, what you got out of that, how it shaped you. We're going to be appreciative for that. And then, like Marie Kondo tidying up a sock drawer, we're going to thank that experience for its service and let it go. To let it go means to recognize that it's not really a part of you. It's not really your identity. It's not who you are. It's transient. It happened, you learned, moving on. Because we're here now, we're in a different place now. So you might keep your list of experiences that you wrote, or you might ceremonially burn it, or tear it up, or throw it out, or delete it. Keep it, get rid of it, you decide. Sometimes keeping your list of experiences is one way that people kind of put it in a box and package it up and then it's out of them. Other people like to get rid of it, sometimes in dramatic fashion by burning it or something like that. But you can, sometimes getting rid of it is a form of release. And it's not to be discounted. Ceremonies and rituals are powerful psychological devices. So if you're having trouble letting go of any one particular experience, try it. Try writing it on a piece of paper. Thank it for teaching you and giving you skills you can use later, and then burn it safely in a bowl or a fireplace. And thank your river for that experience and for experiences to come. Because you're going to keep having experiences and you're going to keep learning. But I want you to reaffirm to yourself that you are not this experience or any other. You are not the good experiences or the bad experiences. This goes for both. You may have had a beautiful, amazing experience. And you should be appreciative for that. It doesn't mean that you won't periodically think back on it and say, oh, wasn't that wonderful? Wasn't that amazing? And feel it again for a moment. But you need to release it from your identity. You need to let it go from your definition of who you are. That's the key. So I want you to feel the distance between you and that experience. There's a time distance between you and that experience. But at this point, you want to put emotional distance between you and that experience, and intellectual distance, and energetic distance, and more so than that, identity distance. You want to distance this experience from your definition of who you are. Now, new experiences will come along, and they'll continue to shape you. And as they do, recognize that you're being shaped, thank them for what they teach you, and let them go too. And that is, you're letting them go from your identity. So when you can detach from your experiences and view them as an outside observer, recognizing that they are not you, but they shape you, and that's a good thing, then you'll find much more trust in your river or in the universe or in the divine. So looking back kind of on the grand scheme of all of these different experiences that you've had, good and bad, and everything in between, can you see the river of your life shaping you? Can you see how it guides your choices and it teaches you lessons and it gives you skills and it gives you the gifts of joy and love and occasionally fear or perspective or compassion? Can you see how it's leading you to something? Is there a pattern of you being prepared for something or more than one thing? You might be prepared for a series of things. Can you let go and trust in your river? Now, trusting your river can be hard because we know from past experience that it may bring you to a place of sadness or loss or fear. Right? No life is immune from some negative experiences, experiences we'd rather not have, experiences that are fearful or sad, or have loss. And so you kind of know that's out there somewhere possibly for you in the future. So that's what makes it really hard to trust your river. You can say, yeah, but I can't see around the next bend, and I know out there somewhere is a negative experience. Yeah, but out there is also a lot of really amazing, beautiful experiences. But trusting your river has a really interesting effect. The more you trust where life is trying to guide you, the easier life becomes because you stop struggling. When you just flow with your river, it takes you much more directly to where you need to be. And that means there are fewer places of sadness and fear. And when those times do come, you have the perspective to say, this too is being human. You can have some compassion for yourself. And this kind of compassion for yourself and your shared humanity is the key to making sadness and fear dissipate. So by trusting your river, flowing with where it's trying to take you, letting these experiences come and shape you and go, you ultimately minimize the time that you spend with these more negative emotions. When you trust your river, you tend to not act out of fear or jealousy or sadness or other negative emotions. When you trust your river, you tend to act out of love or purpose or joy or other positive emotions. And as I said before, and I couldn't possibly repeat this enough times, when you act out of positive emotions, when you make decisions and choices out of positive emotions, the result will multiply those positive emotions, right? Any emotion that's at the root of your choices will be multiplied by that choice. And so if you're spending a lot more time acting from a place and choosing and deciding from a place of positive emotions, you're naturally going to get experiences that multiply those positive emotions. So the irony is, to have fewer bad times in your life, you have to stop fearing having bad times in your life. If you sit around afraid that you're going to have bad times in your life, and this is why you don't trust your river, you're going to get more bad times in your life, right? Because you get what you think about. No, that's not true. You get what you feel. So if you're sitting there afraid that the future holds fearful experiences for you or sad experiences for you, you're going to get more of that. But if you just trust your river and you trust that it's trying to take you to a beautiful place, and you're making you're sitting around thinking about gratitude and joy and love and compassion, then you're going to get more of that. And I don't know about you, but that's what I would prefer. You get what you think about and feel. So if you think about bad situations and you feel negative emotions, you will get more of them. If you think about good situations and you feel positive emotions, you'll get more of those instead. So to trust your river is to trust that your river is taking you where you need to be, and that your river has a system to ensure that you can have any life you want. If you want beautiful and amazing, your river is ready to take you there. If you want sad and depressing, your river will take you there. So it's a combination of you having the free will to decide where you want to go, and your river overall trying to take you towards your purpose. So obviously the best result will come if you can figure out quickly what your purpose is and then let your river take you there. But at a minimum, we have to kind of let go and flow with the water. So what does that mean? Let's get more specific. We don't know what's going to happen to us in our lives. We may have a pretty good idea when you get up each morning what's going to happen that day, but you don't know. You could get a flat tire. The train could be broken down. You don't know what's going to happen in your life. You might have a promotion coming. You get to work and they say, hey, you're doing so great. We want to give you more money. All kinds of things can happen that you don't anticipate. And sometimes, and I'm sure you've noticed this, you can get these wild plot twists in your life that you just go, whoa, I did not see that coming. And those plot twists can seem good or can seem bad. But it's really very hard to judge whether something is actually good or bad, right? They're just experiences. And they're teaching you something, or they're preparing you for something, or they're giving you a perspective that you're going to need. And this is great, because if you're going to carry out your purpose, you need to be prepared for it. You need to have the skills and the perspective to make it happen. So let your river take you down that path of preparation for your mission here. And trust that it will take you to a beautiful place. I don't know of anyone whose purpose is to be miserable. And I don't know of anyone whose mission includes them being down or angry all the time. What I've found is that when you're working within your purpose, you light up, you're full of joy. And that's where your river is trying to take you, if you will let it and work with it and say, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready to be happy, because sometimes when we're in these early stages, sometimes maybe we think we don't deserve to be. And that can be for a lot of reasons. And we won't go into that here today. But the point is, you have a purpose on this earth. You have a purpose in this life. And your river's trying to take you there. So stop struggling. Trust it. Trust it. Help it help you find your purpose. And flow with it. And you'll know you're flowing with your river when things just seem to click along easily. Life doesn't seem like a struggle. If life seems like a struggle, you're not flowing with your river. And you need to reassess some of the things that you're trying to do. So that's enough for today. If you have questions about this concept or others, let me know. You can send your questions in at questions@koabd.com, or you can go to the community page of the website and send your questions in there. Let me know how I can help, because that is why I am here. So trusting your river is the beginnings of forming a connection with the divine, with certain parts of your life that are influenced by the divine. You want to call that God, you want to call it Allah, you want to call whatever you want to call it, I don't care. I'm going to call it the divine, and then you can get specific with it. But you want to connect to that, and this is step one, learning to trust, right? Because trust is the foundation of everything else. All right, thanks for joining us here today. We'll see you next time. Let me know how I can help. And as always, I'm wishing you, Purna Asati, complete connection.